Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we left off in a discussion. The discussion featured a suggestion of Rava bar Rav Chonon, who was found on the lower part of Samach Omid Beis, concerning the topic of worshipping Avodah Zarah through the different forms of service that are conducted in the Beis HaMikdash. And we maintained that those services that are done in the offering of Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, if they are done or practiced as service to Avodah Zarah, even if it's unusual for that particular Avodah Zarah, for that particular practice to be applied to it, nevertheless, there will be a chiyuv, there will be guilt. Rava bar Rav Chonon suggested that maybe the word hishtachavo that is singled out in the Torah is there to show that not only the main or the four Beis HaMikdash sacrifice-related activities are to be culpable in the event that one uses them to serve an Avodah Zarah, but anything that is of a respectable nature. And if you use the word Hishtachavo to teach me that, to teach me this expanded form of service to idols in their Shelo Kedarka way, the question arose, what will I do with the word zoveach that was also featured in a specific form, even though zvicha, sacrificing, is included in the general service of idols? So Rava bar Rav Chonon suggested that zoveach might come to teach me the concept of mechashvin me'avodo la'avodo as it applies to Avodah Zarah, a concept that we already know applies to Korbanos offered in the Beis HaMikdash under the term Pigul. So to review Rava bar Rav Chonon's suggestion, we've included a little bit of a summary in the margin of Samach Aleph, Omid Aleph, whereby the title of our presentation will be, according to Lefi Hatzos Rava bar Chana, Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda B'avoda Zara, the concept of a practice, let us say, the shechita of an animal for personal use, but while the shechita is taking place, the owner intends to sprinkle the blood for an idol, as service to an idol. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this idea is learned from Pigul. In other words, he will make a comparison from the fact that Mechashen Me'avoda Avoda applies to Korbanos. It will apply to Avodah Zarah service as well. And therefore, the word Zoveach can teach me what we thought it would teach on Samach Amud Beis, that in the service of Avodah Zarah, all other Beis HaMikdash activities, let's say the four main service ways that one offers a korban, zvicha, and zrika, and haktora, and nisuch, when done to an Avodah Zarah, even though it's not its normal way of service, will be usher. According to Reish Lakish, Rava is suggesting that the word zoveach will teach me the idea of mechashven me'avoda lavoda. And therefore, we've included lachein yesh mokoim lahatzia, we have room to suggest the mishtachave yilamed al shar avodos, that I will learn from hishtachavo to include many more avodos, services that are of a respectable nature, that will, if done to an avodah zarah, will be grounds for condemnation. At this point, in the Gemara, Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, the second line from the top, the point from which we are picking up, we encounter a geometric form, a triangle with a colored in tip. The Mivne description, the structural note on the margin says, Kushyos she'olu, questions that arise, Le'ur hatsa'osoi shel Rovo bar Rav Chonon. As a result of Rovo bar Rav Chonon's suggestion, these questions will arise. And as you scan down the daf, you will notice several triangles with their tips colored in. Maskif lo Rav Popa. Rav Papa asks, Ulu Rabbi Yochanan lo bo ikra. Notice we have an asterisk to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Samach Omid Beis. That means our attention is drawn back to Samach Omid Beis, finding a parallel marking, and you will find one at the bottom line. This is on the line opposite where Rabbi Yochanan, where his name appears. Therefore, we're drawing your attention to the fact that the Gemara is asking now on that Rabbi Yochanan. Is it so that Rabbi Yochanan does not require a pasuk for mechashvin me'avoda lavoda by avoda zara? We thought that Rabbi Yochanan would learn that from Pigal. However, there is room to use or to need the pasuk, the pasuk of zoveach, to teach me by avodah zarah as well, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ad kan lo ko'osa Rabbi Yochanan ela behema. Till now, when Rabbi Yochanan mentioned that there is mechashven me'avodah lavodah in avodah zarah, that is only as far as the animal becoming osur, becoming prohibited. Avol gavro lo bar katlohu, but as far as a person who is mechashven me'avodah lavodah in the realm of avodah zarah, I wouldn't know that the one who does that, the person who does it, who, let us say again, he slaughters with the intent of sprinkling the, he slaughters for his own purposes with the intent of sprinkling the blood for an idol, I wouldn't know that he's guilty of a capital offense. The asakra, the pasuk of zoveach would come along lichiyuve gavra lekavra to condemn the person to the death penalty. So up till now, we thought that according to Rava Bar Rav Chanan, the whole suggestion was raised only with respect to Reish Lakish. In fact, we can raise this question, in other words, the suggested use of the word zoveach for within Rabbi Yochanan's Shita as well. Another question, Maskif lo Rav Och Acho Brei Duravika, Ulu Reish Lakish Mi Bo Ikra? This question is almost a 180-degree turnaround. Is it really necessary, as Rava Bar Rav Chanan suggested, that I need Zoveach for Reish Lakish? Is that really so? Do I need the word Zoveach to teach me Mechashen Me'avoda Lavoda, and that the person who does that in the realm of Avoda Zorah will be Chayev? Ad kan lo koshori Reish Lakish ela behema. Up till now, when Reish Lakish said that there is no mechashven me'avoda avoda as far as learning it from Pigal, that is true. That is only insofar as the behema not being affected. That even though in the realm of Pigal there is this idea of mechashven me'avoda avoda, and the animal becomes forbidden, and the animal becomes useless as a korban. But with regard to avoda zara, Reish Lakish says, we don't learn from Pigal. But all that is true as far as the behema itself is concerned. Avol gavro bar katlohu. midi dehave amishtachave lahar. But as far as the person himself that practices it, in other words, a person who shechts, who slaughters an animal with the intent of sprinkling its blood for an avodah zara, the person who does that will be guilty of a capital offense based on the practice or the known halacha of one who bows down to a mountain, where the result of that is bows down to a mountain in worship of the mountain. Dahar mutar, we know from Gzeros HaKosuvs that the mountain remains mutar, however v'ovda b'sayif, but one who does that, who bows down to the mountain, is chayev capital punishment by the sword. In other words, according to Reish Lakish, I don't need to use the pasuk of Zoveach to teach me that the person who's mechashven me'avoda l'avoda in avoda zora is chayav. Amalei Rav Achomi Difti the Ravina. You notice here we have another long question, the kuf that is contained or is surrounded by a triangle to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara in the case of Kushya, and the vertical dashed line indicates the length of this question. Lamai, Rav Acha poses a question to Ravina. Says Lamai de Komar le Rova bar Rav Chonon la Abaye. Emo yotza hishtachavo lelamed al haklal kulo. Rova Barav Chonon suggested that maybe the posuk dealing with hishtachavo teaches me about the whole realm of avodah zara, to mechayev, to condemn for those services, even if they're not Beis Hamikdash related services. Even if they are shelo kedarka. So, according to that suggestion, what will I do with another pasuk? There's a pasuk that says, Echo Yavdu, lim utemai. The pasuk Echo Yavdu is mashma, implies that only kedarka, only normal service methods are forbidden. In other words, if I am serving an avodah zarah, I will be guilty only if I serve it in its normal way. We'll say according to its instruction manual. But according to Rava Barav Chonon's suggestion, I am going to hold guilty one who practices anything that's of an honorable nature, even if it's not according to that particular idol's instruction manual. So the question simply is, what am I going to do with this pasuk of Echo Yavdu? V'chitema, you might say that Echo Yavdu, which is a pasuk that we're taking to have a limiting nature to it, will come to Limute Hapoyer Atzmo Lezoifchim, one who defecates in front of idols to whom one normally sacrifices, and the pasuk is telling me that he would not be guilty. Well, that I would learn anyway from Mehishtachavo Nafko. I would still learn that from the Hishtachavo, the other pasuk itself. Ma Hishtachavo Derech Kibud. Just like bowing is a sign of honor, Af Kol Derech Kibud. So to anything that is honorable, namely only honorable activities result in culpability, and not defecating in front of idols that are normally sacrificed to. Once again, then, what am I going to do with the pasuk of Echo Yavdu? Elo, the Gemara answers, Limute hapoyer atzmo lemarkalis. The Echo Yavdu pasuk will tell me that one who defecates in front of the Markalis idol will be exempt. Salkadaita chamina, without this teaching, I would have thought, Hoyol v'avoidoso bizoyon hu, af kol bizoyon, since the Markalis method of service is through denigration, namely, it is stoned. So I might have thought to include all denigrating type behavior. Komash Malon Echo Yavdu comes to tell me that defecation in front of the Markalis would not result in culpability. So at this point, we are saying as follows, the Hishtachavo Pasuk is going to include, and this of course is according to Rava Bar Rav Chonon's suggestion, Hishtachavo will suggest that all honorable acts done to all idols, even though that particular honorable act is not in its instruction manual, will be guilty on the in the realm of, that's learned, as we say, from Hishtachavo. Echo Yavdu will tell me that when it comes to those kind of idols whose service is through denigration, then it's only through the specific denigrating act designed for that particular idol that will result in culpability, but alternative acts of denigration to a denigration type idol will not result in culpability. Another question. Elaha di Omar Rebbe Eliezer. You'll notice that we have a long marking on the to the left of the Gemara. We have a long question marking. To the left of the text, you'll notice a kuf with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of the question. And to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a an abbreviated Rebbe Lozer, and it's encircled with a dotted vertical line. This is designed to show the length of Rebbe Eliezer's presentation, and it is part of a long question. So as we go on in the Gemara, we realize that Rebbe Elozer's comment will last a couple of lines. Elohol di Omar Rebbe Elozer, minayin, from where do we know, lezoveach behemo lamarkalis, shehu chayov, that one who sacrifices an animal to the stoning idol, that even though sacrificing is not in its instruction manual, the way Marcellus is worshipped is through stoning it, but nevertheless he will be chayev, he is guilty for sacrificing to it. Shenemar v'lo yizbuchu oid es zivchehem la'seirim. The Pasuk is saying, and thou shalt not sacrifice to the demons or to these other forces one's sacrifices. If this pasuk that's warning against sacrificing to idols is not talking about the normal way of service, because that is addressed by the pasuk of Echo Yavdu, Tenehu Inyan Lishalo Kedarka. Use the Lo Yizbichu Od pasuk to refer to those forms of worship that are not in the idol's instruction manual and still will be prohibited. Yeah, but according to Rava Bar Rav Chonon's suggestion, I don't need Echo Yavdu for Shelo Kedarka. I'm going to be learning Shelo Kedarka from Hishtachavo. Shelo Kedarka Mishtachavo Nafka. So we have essentially two psukim that would be telling me the same thing, and that cannot be. So the Gemara answers, Hosam, the pasuk of Velo Yizbechu is warning against something else. That's Bezoveach Lehachis. That is one who sacrifices in order to arouse the wrath of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, his intent is not to worship the idol per se, but his intent is to machis, to anger God. And that too is prohibited, but of course that's a different type of act or mindset. Rav Hamnuna, the Gemara, tells a little story involving Rav Hamnuna, Irkasule Turi. He lost his oxen, he was looking for them, he was seeking them out. Poga be Rabo, and Rabo met up with him. Romo le masnisin ahadodi, and he raised a seeming contradiction within our Mishnah. The Meforshim point out that the addition of Rav Hamnuna having lost his oxen is inserted here to show how dedicated our Rabbonim, our Chazal, were to Torah learning, that even though their mind was on, even though they were preoccupied by this potential financial loss, nevertheless, their minds were always on Torah. So the following question is raised. Romo le masnisin adodi. He raised a seeming contradiction between two sections of our Mishnah, Tanan. On the one hand, it says, Ha'oved avodas kechavim, that guilt is achieved through the actual service of an idol. Oyved in, oymer lo, action yes, but speech no. Va'anan tnan, but we also have taught in the Mishnah, ha'oymer e'evod, eilech ve'e'evod, neilech v'na'avod. One who says, I am going to serve an idol. Or he says, I am going to go and worship an idol. Or let us go and service an idol. That itself is guilty. So that we see from the point that a person speaks, without actual worship, there is guilt. So we have to say, we have to make up our minds. Does speech alone create guilt, or does actual service or action create the guilt? In order to deal with this, the Gemara will present a number of responses. We might be able to count up to 7 responses. Before we proceed in the Gemara, let us take a look at our topic heading with a structural note. In the outside margin, you notice we have a triangle featured with a 7 in it. These are 7 yishuvim, 7 resolutions, lastira, for the apparent contradiction, bein ha-resha v'asefa shel mishnasenu, to resolve the opening part and subsequent part of the Mishnah. Resha, oyved avodah zarah chaya v'lo ha-omer, the resha seemed to say that only action of worship is results in culpability. Seifa gam be'amira odom mischayev, through mere speech a person becomes guilty. So we continue in the Gemara. Number 1, Omar Lei, the answer provided, the first answer is be'oimer, the section of the Mishnah that says that only through action does one become guilty is where he declares, Eini mekablo olai ela ba'avoda, I am not accepting this idol as a god until I actually service it. That is what's meant by, or that is what is referred to by the phrase of the Mishnah that said, Ha'oved avodas kechavim. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take a look at Rashi on the first line underneath the Gemara text, Ela ba'avoda, ad she'evdenu, until I actually serve it. The chokama de lo polachle ein kan ova v'shama, that until the actual service, there is no ova, is a willingness and to accept the idol. The seifa de mashma b'amira chayav, the latter part of the Mishnah that seemed to say that by mere speech there is already guilt. B'shekiblo alav elohu somiyah, this is referring to someone that accepted the divinity of this particular idol upon himself immediately. The cave on the Omar e'evod, that once he says, I am going to worship it, mistama kible ole beloha, it, in all likelihood, he already accepted it as a god. Elo piresh behedya, unless he specified explicitly, she'eno mekablo olav ela bavoda, that he is not accepting it until he actually services it. Or until he actually serves it. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef, in reacting to this issue, he says, Tanoi shaklis me'alma, have you ignored, literally, have you taken out Tanoim from this world? In other words, the two phrases of the Mishnah can be parallel to two different Tanaic opinions. So by not alluding to them, Rav Yosef says, it's as if you've ignored the presence of two arguing Tanaic opinions. And it's as if you cast them out of the world. So he goes on to say, Tanoihi, this issue is a machlokas Tanoim, Desanya. We have the following Tanaic source. As you can see, it too is in a frame. Ha'oimer, one who says, Bo'u v'avduni, come and worship me. Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Yehuda Poter. Rabbi Meir holds that he is guilty. The mere speech creates guilt, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. Hecha de polcho, kule alma lo pligi. Where he is worshipped, then everyone will agree that there is guilt. Dichtiv lo yisase lecho pesel. Don't make yourself into an idol. So that we see from the Torah that even making oneself into a source of worship, there is guilt. Ki pligi, when is there a point of controversy? B'diburo b'alma, where there has been no actual worship of this individual, but mere speech. Rabbi Meir Savar, Dibura Milsahi. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that mere speech is grounds for guilt. Rabbi Huda Savar, Dibura Lav Milsahi. Mere speech is not grounds for guilt. So with this, we could conceivably answer or resolve the two parts of our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir being associated with the second part of the Mishnah, where Ha'omer Evod is guilty, and the first part of the Mishnah that says Ha'oved Avodis Gechavim only through actual service, that would be associated with Rabbi Yehuda. Hadar Amar Rabbi Yosef. But on second thoughts, Rabbi Yosef, he retracts what he just said, and we're calling this approach number three. The resolution that Rabbi Yosef suggests will be found on Omid Beis after the upcoming bracketed section. Rav Yosef says that what I just said concerning the way I presented Rabbi Yehuda is not accurate. Vav milsahi di amri, what I said is not so. The afil Rabbi Yehuda b'dibura nami chiyuve mechayev. We find that Rabbi Yehuda also considers seriously mere speech. Where that will be seen, the Gemara will deal with in the bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section momentarily, and you go to the second line from the top of Amud Beis, you will notice the Gemara says, Umas Nisen, that is a reference to the Reisha and Seifa of our Mishnah that seem to be incongruous, is resolved as follows. He says, Kan biyochid haniseis, kan birabim hanistim. The section of the Mishnah that is Mechayev for mere speech, that's a reference to an individual who is being convinced by someone else to follow him in the service of idolatry, and he acknowledges. So that the listener, the Niseis, the listener that acquiesces, if he is by himself, his mere acquiescence will be grounds for guilt. The Reisha that said that there's no guilt until actual service, that's kan berabim hanistim. That's when you're dealing with the public that is being seduced. We say that their guilt is not going to be until they actually service it. The Gemara there explains, Yochid lo mimlech v'toi basrei. The individual, he doesn't change his mind. That once he acquiesces to serve a particular idol, he will not change his mind and error, toi, error mean to service the, to practice the idolatry. Toi basre, follow him, the one who was trying to convince him. Rabim, however, when you're dealing with the public, mimlichi velo to basre, they have a tendency to switch their minds, and they don't, the masses don't necessarily follow the one who was trying to seduce them. Since there's a possibility of their changing their mind, they are not guilty by their initial acceptance, and rather guilt waits until they actually service the idol. At this point, though, we must go over the bracketed section. Before we go further, let's take advantage, even though we offered some oral explanation, let us nevertheless take advantage of some of the notes we have. First of all, we have, at the point that Rav Yosef said, retracts what he said. He said that, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, speech can result in chiyuv. The asterisk draws our attention to the bracket explanation. Sograyim l'shem dilug. The brackets here are designed for skipping, as we demonstrated already. Achreim Rav Yosef noisein es pirusho hasheni liyashev es hamishnah. After the bracketed section, the Rav Yosef will present his second attempt to resolve the contradiction within the Mishnah. We did this already. We showed you how to read the Gemara. Now, besol hasograyim, within this bracketed section, muvo horeka lema shnemar de la Rebbe Yehuda nami chayavim al dibor. The background or the basis for Rav Yosef's comment that according to Rebbe Yehuda, speech itself is a serious matter. Where Rebbe Yehuda says that will be found in the bracketed section, and also Uvama hu cholek al Rebbe Meir, and we'll also see on which point Rebbe Yehuda disagrees with Rebbe Meir, because after all, we saw a few lines up in the previous Tanaic source there was a controversy between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. But once you tell us that Rebbe Yehuda also takes speech in the realm of Avodah Zarah as a serious offense, on what point are they arguing? Let us also take advantage of our subtopic heading that we find in the outside margin. We have a couple of points that we want to feature at this point. The first point is Machlokes Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Be'echod Sha'amar Boyu Ve'avduni, regarding a person that says, "Come and worship me." Heora, we want to point out a note. Machlokes zu yuvrar b'keta shel haGemara b'toch hasograyim. This particular machlokes will be explained in the bracketed section, which we already made allusion to. The second, another point. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda ba'oimer bo'u v'avduni. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion with regard to this situation where someone says, "Come and worship me," chiyuvo mishum mesis, his guilt being categorized as a seducer, and we have a reference here to look in the Sefer Yad Ramah. Based on his interpretation, we present our sukya. So this guilt of being a seducer, talui b'teguvas hashomea, is dependent upon the response of the listener. As follows, Omar, if the listener, the person being seduced, said, "In, yes," in other words, the speaker said, "Come and worship me," and the listener said, "In, yes," that is not a serious enough a response to mechayev, to create guilt on the part of the mesis, the part of the seducer. However, if the listener said, "Evod, I will worship you," then chayev, then the speaker, the mesis, will be held accountable and be guilty. All that having been said, we now turn to the bracketed section, in which we see how Rabbi Yehuda also views speech as a serious matter. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Li'olam Einoi Chayov Ad Sheyoimar Evod, and based on what we see in the Rashi and in the Yad Ramah, the comment here of there is no guilt until the listener says Evod or Eilech Vevod Neilech Venavod, we're referring to the guilt of the speaker, the one who said Bo'u Va'avduni. So when is the speaker guilty as being a seducer? That guilt is not achieved until the listener responds with a somewhat serious response, namely, I will worship you. B'mai komifligi, what is the case that would represent the controversial point between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? The following case, b'mesis la'atzmo v'amri le in komifligi, where you have someone, mesis la'atzmo is the case where someone says, "Come and worship me," and the responder says, "Yes." More so, according to Rabbi Meir, mesis la'atzmo shami le, the one who is trying to convince people to worship him, people listen to him. The in and the yes response, the koamri that they say, the koamri le kushtahu, is a true response. Umor savar mesis laatzmo lo shamile, that in general, someone who is trying to convince others to worship him, he is not listened to. Meimar amri, people say, maishno ihu minon didon, what's the difference between him and us? We're nothing special, so he's nothing special. The in the Qu'amri and the yes that they say is a joke. Yeah, it's achuchi ole. They're laughing at him. It's like we say, even in English, you say, yeah, let's see. In other words, the yeah, the yes, is a jeering type of yes. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, as he said already in the source, the Mesis won't be chayev unless they respond with something more determining than the mere yes, but rather they respond saying, we will serve you. Umas Nisan, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Reisha and the Seifa, we can interpret the Mishnah itself, the two sections of the Mishnah, as referring to the people who are being seduced, not the seducer. Umas Nisan, Kan biyochid haniseis, the Mishnah that says that there is a chiyuv on Amira also, namely the Seifa of the Mishnah, that is talking about a single person who is responding to a seducer. It's someone's trying to convince to serve idols. Kan, the Reisha is berabim hanistim. That is talking about the Reisha, which says that there is no guilt until actual service and not based on the speech alone. That's talking about a case where the public is being seduced. And the Gemara explains, Yochid lo mimlich v'toy basrei. A person, when he is alone and he is being seduced and he acknowledges or acquiesces to serve, he will not change his mind and follow along. Rabim, however, the public, mimlechi v'loto basrei, they will debate it and have second thoughts and very likely change their minds. Therefore, by their saying, merely saying, yes, we will go along and worship the idol, that is not enough in order to create guilt. Omar Rav Yosef mino amin Allah. At this point, we are introducing another marking, the double underline. It's one of our series markings. The reason for this is because as you go down the Omid, you will notice the Mino Amino law expression appearing time and time again. We explain in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin that the Mino Amino law are Mekuros Lechuvos She Ne'emru. These are going to be sources for the respective answers that are presented as we go along the way. So Rav Yosef says, from where do I know that through acquiescence to serve an idol, there is guilt? Through mere acquiescence. How? From where do we see that? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Loi soiva loi velo sishma ilov. Pasuk says that when trying to be seduced by someone, the Torah is saying, don't listen to him. Ha ava v'shama. However, if one does acquiesce and listen to the seducer, chayav. So we see that acquiescence through speech to the seducer is grounds for guilt. Of course, Rav Yosef explained that was a case when he is being seduced in private. Esve Abaye. Abaye introduces a question of some considerable length, and that is indicated by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line, indicating the length of his question. Abaye raises an objection. Esve Abaye. Mi shani bein niseis derabim leniseis yochid. Is there grounds for making a distinction between a public that is being seduced versus a private individual that is being seduced? V'hatanya. We see to the contrary through an inference from a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source will discuss those being seduced to idol worship, and it will point out that there is a difference between a private individual, a yochid, versus a rabbim, a public, and the differences are in terms of the punishment. namely the private person who yields to who acquiesces to serve an idol, we find that he is treated with a skilo death penalty, but we don't touch his property. When it comes to a public that's being seduced, there they are subjected to the penalty by the sword, death by the sword. However, but in addition to that, even though death by the sword is considered a lesser type of penalty, nevertheless, their property, in the Ir HaNidachas case, their property is destroyed. So we're going to say at the end of the source, if we skip to the end of the source, the Gemara will say, Baha Milsahu Deshani. It's only in these respects that there is a difference between private and public. Avo Baha Mili Ki Hadodininu, but with regard to all other aspects, they are the same. So whatever standard one applies to a private person in his acceptance, the same standard shall be applied to the public when accepting. Accepting the avodah zarah, the willingness, expression of willingness to service. In other words, the answer that Rav Yosef gave in order to resolve the two different parts of the Mishnah and trying to draw a distinction between a yochid sheniseis and rabim sheniseis is questionable. That will bring Abaye to his answer, number four. But before we get to that, of course, we have to read through the Gemara. So, picking up from the source that Abaye introduces, V'hotanya, we have a source that starts with the pasuk, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. When your fellow brother tries to lead you astray to the realm of idolatry, Echad Yochid Hanises fi Echod Rabim Hanistim. Whether it be a private person who is being seduced or a public in Ir HaNidachas that is being seduced. In other words, the Pasuk is warning against all different scenarios of seduction to idolatry. V'hoitzi hakosuv Yochid Michlal Rabim v'Rabim Michlal Yochid. But when looking at the psukim, we find that the private person who is being seduced is treated differently than the public, and the public is treated differently than the private. As follows, Yochid Michlal Rabim, where do we see that the private person is treated differently than the public? Lahachmir al gufo, ulahokel al mamoinoi. The Hachmir's stringency with regard to his own death penalty, namely he will get skila, which is the most severe form of execution. Ulahokel amono, leniency with regard to his property, the private person who is found guilty, his property is spared. However, Rabim Michlal Yochid, the public, is treated differently than the private individual. Lahokel agufa, they get a lesser form of execution, namely they're killed by the sword. Ulahachmir amamonam, we know that the property of the Anshe Ir HaNidachas is destroyed. Those are the differences, the Gemara says. Baha milsahu deshani. It's in those areas that there is a difference, there is a distinction. Avo bechol mili ki hadodi ninu. But with regard to everything else, they are treated the same. Elo Omar Abaye. Abaye, therefore, offers his distinction, or answer, resolution, to resolve the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Kan benises mipi atzmoi. The Chiyuv, the Mishnah said, in the Reisha, for that says only upon actual service, that is a case where a person on his own expresses willingness to serve an idol. In other words, there is no seducer in the picture. That's nises mi pi atzmo. He on his own is seduced. Kan benises mi pi achirim. The chiyuv through mere speech is a case where a person is being seduced by an outsider, some speaker. The Gemara explains, mi pi atzmo, when a person decides on his own to serve an idol, he says, I am going to serve such and such idol. Mimlech, there's a tendency for him to change his mind. Therefore, there's no guilt until through the mere speech, the mere expression of willingness to serve an idol. However, mipi achirim, when an outsider is doing the seducing, gorir basrayu, people will follow, they're drawn along. Amar Abai Mino Amino La. Abai says, from where do I know that through the speech of others, one's acceptance results in guilt? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Loi soiva loi veloi sishma ilav. Don't listen to him. Of course, this pasuk is featuring an outsider doing the seduction, and the pasuk is warning, don't listen to him. Don't heed his words. And we can infer, ha ova v'shama, if however one does yield to the seducer, in other words, one accepts, even if it be verbal, a verbal acceptance, chayav, that is grounds for guilt. Rava Omar Idi V'idi B'niseis Mipi Achirim. Rava, in his looking at the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah, he says, both the Reisha and Sefer are talking about an outsider trying to convince to idolatry. Ha, the section of the Mishnah that says that there is guilt for mere speech, namely the Sefer. The Sefer describes a case where the seducer spells out all of the different methods of service of that particular idol that he's trying to convince them to worship, and the benefits that it will yield. Ha di Omar Le, this is where the seducer says, Kach oicheles, kach shoise, thusly the idol eats, thusly it drinks, kach metiva, kach maria, thusly it will benefit, and thusly it punishes. In other words, the seducer is spelling out the details. And we say that after the listener hears all of the pleasures and rewards that it can result in the service of that idol, the mere speech acceptance, the mere acquiescence, the verbal acquiescence is at that point grounds for guilt. Ha delo amalei kachay cheles kachshoisa v'chule. The section of the Mishnah that says that there is no guilt upon verbal acquiescence, that is a case where the seducer was not spelling out the details. Amar Rava min Amin Allah. From where do we see that mere acquiescence is grounds for guilt? That is talking about a case where the seducer was spelling out the details. We will see that in the following Gemara. Dichtiv. The pasuk says, "Melohe huamim asher suzo sechem hakroivim elecha o rechoikim mimecha mikze haaretz viad kze haaretz." The pasuk is saying that it's not worth serving the different gods and idols that are in your vicinity, whether they be in your literal vicinity, they're close to you, or they're far away from you at the edges of the world. So in looking at the pasuk, one will say, Mali Kroivim, Mali Rechoikim, what difference does it make when dealing with the prohibition of idolatry, whether they're nearby or far away? Rather, you know what's being told in what God is saying in the pasuk. God is telling the people, Hachi ka'omar le, thusly Hashem is saying, Mitivusan shel kroivim, ata lomeid ma tivusan shel rechoikim. From the idols that are nearby you, that you see that there is nothing to them, so too you should understand that those that are far away, even though you're listening to someone seduce you and tell you all of its benefits and all of the rewards that you can harvest from such worship, you should know there is nothing to them either. My love. So, as we already used in our explanation, the Gemara spells it out. My love, what must be the case? The Amarle, the seducer was saying about the far away idols, he was saying to them, oh, it's worth following them. Kach Echeles, Kach Shoise, Kach Metiva, Kach Maria. And he was telling them what it eats and what it drinks and the benefits and punishments that it gives. And upon hearing that about the faraway idols, people might have been convinced to follow it. So to that, God says, listen, look at the idols that are nearby you, and you can see that they are empty. So just like they are empty, so too, even those that are far away, even with all the all the promises that you're hearing, there is nothing to them. Shma mino. So this is conclusive as far as Rava is concerned, that there is a difference to be made between the case of the details being spelt out versus them not being spelt out. And as Rava said, when you have a situation that the details are being spelled out, then, and if the listener yields and says, acquiesces to serve, that is itself grounds for guilt. However, if the details are not spelled out, then the mere acquiescence is not grounds for guilt. Rav Ashi, a sixth approach. Omar, Rav Ashi says, Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah that holds one is guilty for verbal acquiescence, be Yisrael Mumer. That's talking about a Jew who is seriously off the path, who is deeply involved with idolatry, so that when he says, I will go and serve, he's not going to back out. And he would be guilty upon mere speech. However, the average individual who's never dabbled in idol worship, if he were to say, I will go and serve such and such an idol, he would not be guilty. Ravina, Omar, Ravina is the last approach. He says that the Mishnah is talking about a regular Jew. And as far as the two sections of the Mishnah understand it, in the following style, loy zu af zu katani, namely, not only does actual worship of an idol, as the Reisha suggested, result in guilt, but even speech, even mere acquiescence, verbal acquiescence itself, can result in guilt. As you can see with our markings, there appears a slash in the Gemara, indicating that the upcoming Gemara is a totally new topic. The Nosei, the topic heading that we see now, says, Ha'oved Avodah Zorah, one who serves Avodah Zorah, may Ahava Umiyura Shel Odom, out of either love of a friend or fear of a friend. In other words, you might have someone who is an idol worshiper, but he's a very close friend of yours, and in order to ingratiate yourself to that party, one might say, I'm going to go and bow down to his idol out of simple love and adoration for you, the friend, placing no significance in the idol itself. And likewise, the case of Yira, where there's a party that's a fearful individual, and in order to also ingratiate yourself with him and to avoid his threats, if you will, you figure, I'll go serve his idol and he'll see that I'm following his ways, even though internally I have no thought even to accept the idol as a god. And my whole purpose of going to his to serve in his full form of worship is only to spare myself from that person's pressure. How do we view a service of idols as a result of this type of motivation, the Ahava or Yira factor? So we point out this will be a Machlukis, Abaye, and Rava. We will also see diamonds appearing in the sukkah. These are explained, these are as follows. Under the Mivneh, we have three diamonds with a squiggle underline under Abaye. Omar Abaye mino aminola. Abaye will be saying, from where do I know my position? And we'll see in the Gemara that Abaye takes the strict position that one who serves out of Ahava Yira, that he is chayav, because objectively he worshipped that particular idol. Whatever he did, if he bowed down to it or slaughtered something to it. Rava disagrees with Abaye's ruling and said that one is potter. And we will see also, as we go along in the Gemara, Rava's name, squiggle underlined, representing his response. Turning to the Gemara, Itmar, ha'oved avodes kechovim me'avo umira, one who serves an idol out of love or fear of a fellow man. Rashi points out in the lower part of the narrow lines, Me'avo u'mi'ira, me'avas odom u'mi'iras odom, v'lo choshvo b'libo b'elohus, but in his heart he doesn't accept it as a god. Abaye Omar Chayov. Abaye holds that one is guilty if he does so intentionally. Rashi says, Chayov b'mezid u'bahasro b'misa, and if he's warned not to do what he does in any way, he's guilty of the death penalty. U'bishogeg, and if he is doing so unwittingly, what does that mean? The kasovar muter lasos came, that he thinks that it's allowed to do such, to bow or to service an idol out of Ava and Yura. Chayav b'chatas, he'll be guilty of, or will be expected to bring a chatas sacrifice. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Omar Potter. Rava holds that service out of an Ava or Yura consideration is grounds for exemption. And Rashi points out, this potter is bein b'mezid, bein b'shogeg, the lav klum ovat. Rava views this as nothing. The Gemara continues, Abaye Omar Chayov, deho polcho. Abaye looks at the facts and doesn't pay, Abaye does not place weight on intention. And he says that there's chiyuv, there's guilt, deho polcho, because he served it. Rava Omar Potter, Rava says he's exempt because Rava places a premium on intention. Rava says as follows, E kible ole beloa, if he accepted the idol upon himself as a divinity, then he's guilty. Elo, if he wasn't makabel, if he doesn't accept upon himself the idol as a divinity, then lo, then he's not guilty. Simon, Eved, Ishtachave, Lemoshiach. This is a reference to the three stages of Gemara that through which we will try to discover the basis of Abaye's opinion of guilt and also see Rava's response. The Omar Abaye, Minoa Minola, from where do I know that service out of Ava and Yira is guilty? Disnan, our Mishnah said, Ha'oved Avodes Kechavim, Echad Ha'oved, Ve'echad HaMezabeach, Ve'echad HaMekater. How are we to understand what seems to be a redundancy in the Mishnah? On the one hand, the Mishnah it says Echad HaOved, and then it says one who services an idol, and then it goes on to say again different forms of service. So the Mishnah seems to be referring to multiple situations of service. My lav Echad HaOved Me'ava U'Mi'ira. Is the Mishnah not trying to include whether a person serves out of actual desire to serve, or even if he serves with the motivation of Avo Yura, love or fear of a friend? The Rashi on the first wide line says, Echad ha'eved, valo hamezabech ha'maktir ovdin heim. Is it not so that slaughtering and burning for the purpose of burning the sacrifices for an avodah zarah, those two, are they not service forms of service? Of course they are. Elohach komar, echad ha'eved vafilu me'avoim yira. The opening clause is a reference to our topic, whether it be one who serves out of Ava and Yura considerations, ve'echad hamezabeach l'shem elohus, or one who slaughters for the sake of serving the idol itself. Either way, there is guilt. Turning back to the Gemara, the Rava, what does Rava do with this seeming redundancy in the Mishnah? Rava amar loch, lo. I don't accept Abaye's reading of the Mishnah that the echad ha'oved expression is coming to include Ava and Yura, but rather, Kidemetaritz Rebbe Yirmiyah, as Rebbe Yirmiyah explained on Samach Amud Beis, and if one glances back to Samach Amud Beis, you will notice that Rav Yirmiyah's name on the upper part of the page is circled, and Rav Yirmiyah reread the Mishnah by saying whether one serves an idol in its normal form, namely according to its instruction manual, the Echad, and whether one practices the Beis HaMikdash activities, the slaughtering, the offering up in the fire, or the sprinkling of the blood, or bowing to it, even if those are shalokadarka, even if they are not according to the instruction manual, but even so, one will be guilty. So we saw Rabbi Yirmiyahu's rereading of the Mishnah, or his explanation of the Mishnah, and that's the approach that Rava adopts. At this point then, Abaye is not standing on solid ground as far as where does he know his halacha from, that service me'avo mira is guilty. Omar Abaye, stage 2, Mino Amin Allah, from where do I know to say Chayav, the Sanya? We have a Tanaic source from which we will see eventually his point. Loi sishtachave lohem. The Pasuk warns against bowing down to idols. Lohem, yato mishtachave, aval ato mishtachave lo'odom kemoscha. It is forbidden to bow to idols, but it is permissible to bow to people, often a sign of respect. So bowing is permissible. Yochol afilu nevad kehaman. Would it be permissible to bow to a person that himself is worshipped like Haman? Tamalomar velosa avdeim. The pasuk says, "Thou shalt not worship them or serve them." Namely, bowing to someone that's nevad kehaman would be prohibited. Oh, so what do we see from here? V'ha Haman, the bowing to Haman was miyira have nevad. He was served out of fear of the king. The king Ahasuerus instructed people to bow to him. So we see that bowing out of fear is grounds for prohibition, for guilt. The Rava's response is as follows. Kehaman velo kehaman. We are going to take some aspects of Haman, but not all aspects of Haman, in understanding this halacha. The Brisa said that if one is nevad kehaman, then it is usher. So it is as follows. Kehaman, when is it usher? Deihu gufei avodes kehovim. That is when bowing to a human being who made himself into an idol. So bowing to a human being who made himself into an idol, that is forbidden. However, v'lo kahaman, however, we're not going to learn from Haman the following aspect. The ilu Haman miyira. The bowing to Haman was done out of fear. And that would not be guilty. V'hocha lav miyira. In the Brisa that speaks about a prohibition, it's talking about a situation where the bowing is not because of fear motivation. The Omar Abaye, Mino Aminola, from where do I know that service of idols out of love or fear of fellow man is guilty? The Sanya. We have the following source that features the special topic of a Kohen Gadol who is in violation of Halacha. In this case, specifically, he's in violation of idol worship. Before we go further, though, let us point out that we have a long answer marking. The question being, from where do I know my teaching? The answer to that is featured with the tuff that's encircled, and you see that to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, and it extends to the second line from the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph. So Abaye says, from where do I know my position? Desanya. Kohen Moshiach Bavodes Kehovim. The Kohen Moshiach is a reference to the Kohen Gadol, the anointed Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, in the realm of violating Avodah Zarah. Rebbe Omer, Beshigigas Maisa, the Kohen Gadol will be chayev upon an act done unwittingly. V'chachomim Omrim, Behelom Dovar. The Chachomim say, however, that he is not going to be guilty unless he does an act in a state of ignorance. Helem, something is hidden from him. These points will be dealt with by the Gemara as it unfolds. Vishavin, however, there is agreement, Sheba Si'ira Kiyachid, that the type of korban he'll bring will be the Si'ira she-goat, as a private person who violates Avodah Zarah, We're not going to get into all of the details that are generally necessary for understanding this particular source, but in general, it should be known that a Kohen Gadol usually brings a unique korban, a par, a cow offering, in the event that he violates the averus that generate a korban. But since we're dealing with the realm of Avodah Zarah, a different standard applies, a standard which actually makes him equal to the general population. And this is seen in the form of the korban that he brings, the shigot, the shoven. Another point of similarity between the Kohen Gadol, another point of agreement between Rebbe and Chachamim is she'ein mevi osham tolui, that he doesn't bring that korban known as the suspension guilt offering. As mentioned or alluded to just a moment ago, the details of this source are not going to be essential for seeing the main point of our discussion, so we will continue in the Gemara. Hai shigigas maisa davidus kechavim heichi domi. What are the circumstances of shigigas maisa that Rebbe says will generate guilt within the realm of idol worship? E kosovar beis haknesses hu vishtachavalo. If a person bowed to a building, thinking that it was a shul, and it turned out to be something else, that wouldn't be grounds for guilt. Hare libo lashamayim. His intention is heavenward. He has fully pure intentions. Ella, what must be? The choza andarta vishtachavalo. He saw a statue and bowed down to the statue. E kible ale beloha. If he accepted this as a divinity, as a god, then Mesidhu, he's doing something with full awareness, with intent, and therefore there would be no bringing of a korban. Korbanos, for the most part, are brought when something is done unwittingly. But if he was makabel, if he accepted this statue as a god form, then there would be no korban, and this source is featuring the bringing of a korban for some form of idolatry. The Elo Kible Ole Beloha, if he saw the statue, did not assign any divinity to it whatsoever. He bowed out of respect to it. There are often statues that are erected in honor of people or events, and he bowed out of respect, but not out of any divine intentions. Then Lo Klumu, it's nothing. Elolav, so what must be the pshat in this shigigas maisa that Rebbe refers to? So it must be me ahava umira, and we see that there is a chiyuv of bringing a korban. That's in a shogeg form, and in the mazid form, Abaye would tell you that he's chayev a capital offense. So this would be the source for Abaye's psak that me ahava umira is chayev. The Rava Omar Loch, lo. Rava disagrees. He says the shigigas maisa that is referred to in the source is ba'oimer mutter, where the person thinks that there is no avodah zorah prohibition in the Torah. The Gemara asks, Omer mutter, is that your pshat in Rebbe, the Rebbe's shigigas maisa? Hainu Helam Dovar. That's the same thing as Helam Dovar that the Chachamim referred to. And the Chachamim would then be in agreement with Rebbe, but yet they seem to be arguing about something. So the Gemara says, Beomer Muter Legamri. The expression Shigigas Maisa of that Rebbe states in this Tanaic source is where someone says that there is no prohibition whatsoever concerning Avodah Zorah. Helam Dovar, the term the Rabbana, the Chachamim use, Helam Dovar refers to a different case. That's Kiyum Miktsas Ubitul Miktsas. That is a situation where a person is aware of Avodah Zorah, but he thinks that Avodah Zorah only covers certain activities as opposed to other activities. Example, where a person says there is avodah zarah in the Torah, the Torah warns against sacrificing and offering sacrifices to it, but the Torah would allow bowing, and of course that is an error. Nevertheless, that's a partial situation, and that's what Helam Dover refers to. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.